Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Jaffa conference call, mid-morning session. Today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Kirtida Sundari Devi Dasi Mataji to enlighten us on the topic Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam Antalila 13.1 onwards. Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you so much. Dandavat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you once again for giving your very valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening on this topic. I would like to hand over the call to you, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Radharani Mataji, for warmly welcoming everybody. And thank you each and every one of you for joining us for today's session. So we'll start now. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jayo Jayo Shri Chaitanya Jayo Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So we are reading today. I'll just share my screen. Give me a minute. Okay, so we are reading today from chapter number 13, CC Antya Leela, chapter 13. And the chapter entitled is Pastimes of Jagananda Pandit, Pastimes with Jagananda Pandit and Raghunath Bhatta. So we'll start today the chapter, the text one. Krishna vicheda jatarya shine chapi manastanu dadhate phullatam bhavair yasyatam gauramashraya. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Let me take shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Gaurachandra. His mind became exhausted and his body very thin from the pain of separation from Krishna. But when he felt ecstatic love for the Lord, he again became fully developed. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalum Pangum Langayate Girum Yat Kripahatam Hamvande Shri Guru Dinatharina Guruve Gaura Chandraya Radhikaya Tadale Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. So thank you all so much for sharing all your valuable, wonderful time with all of us today and having that desire to hear Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, who is the crest jewel of all the scriptures, I must say that. So thank you all so much for your association. So I really don't feel qualified to speak, especially on these Antya Leela pastimes. But just taking it as a service to Gurudev, accepted the service. But at the same time, I really request each and every one of you to please shower your heartfelt prayers, blessings, and wishes so that I can speak something relevant related to this subject matter. Vanchakalpatirubhascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Anant Koti Vaishnavrindi Ki Jai. Text 1. Krishna vichhede jatharya shine chapi manastanu. So Krishna vichheda. So here, we all know in the start of the chapter, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami normally summarizes the whole chapter in the very first verse that he writes. And in the very first verse of the chapter, he basically, what he summarizes is the whole, the key point, what he wants to tell. So following the same norm, though this chapter will be, you know, in the, will follow the discussions, the pastimes with Jagananda Pandit. But right now, what's the mood of Mahaprabhu when he is in Gambhira? So in, he is in his later part of the pastimes, before winding up everything and going back to the spiritual world. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the epitome of his Krishna prem. And here in Gambhira, now he's relishing. So he did all the preaching. For 18 years he preached. He went to South India. He went to so many places. Even he went to Vrindavan. But now he wants to just stay in Puri and, you know, do his own, because he really wants to relish what he has preached. So what Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, what he is saying, Krishna Vichheda Jatharya. Krishna Vichheda means feeling that separation from the Supreme Lord Krishna. Jata Arteya. Arteya means a kind of a pain, a kind of a suffering that is there in the body. So the separation from Krishna, it produced, jata, it produced some kind of pain. Shine chapi manastanu, and his body has become very thin, very, very exhausted. Because of feeling separation from Krishna, his body has become so much thin and so much exhausted. Cha api means although, manastanu, his mind, though his mind is also, you know, little bit exhausted, but once what actually happens is dadhate fullatam, but immediately his mind, body is exhausted, right? But immediately his mind becomes so much enthused, so much joyful, so much in bliss by experiencing tasyatam gauram ahashraya. Fullatam bhaver, as soon as those emotions, these emotions from feeling separation from Krishna, as soon as they come to his heart, his mind immediately becomes so much blissful and so much enthu is there in his mind that along with that mind, even his body becomes, you know, so much bliss, so much in bliss. He feels some kind of ecstatic love for Krishna. And as soon as he feels, though this body is, you know, very, very thin, very, very exhausted, but as soon as he feels that some kind of emotions, you know, he will jump all around, though his body has become exhausted. So that's the situation of Mahaprabhu. Very, very difficult to explain. Very, very difficult to comprehend, especially for a person like me who is still not on the stage of Raganuga, still trying, not even on the Vaidhi Bhakti, I should say. Simply trying to follow the footsteps given by Gurudev. Simply trying to follow his instructions. So definitely, these emotions, especially of Mahaprabhu, is very, very difficult. Very, very difficult to understand and very, very difficult to comprehend. So just let's go through the flow. What Kaviraj Goswami wants to say and just hear it and just relish it in our own sadhana. Translation. Let me take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Gaurachandra. His mind became exhausted and his body very thin from the pain of separation from Krishna. But when he felt ecstatic love for Krishna, he again became fully developed. So that's his position. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. The celebrated verse quoted by Kaviraj Goswami in every chapter as the second verse All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all glories to Nityananda Prabhu, all glories to Advaita Charya, and all glories to all the devotees of the Lord. Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Text 3. He namate Mahaprabhu Jagaranda Sange, Nanamate Ashwadeha Prema Ratarange. And in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would taste various transcendental relationships of pure love in the company of Jagananda Pandit. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami also, you know, not describing further the mood, the feelings that is being experienced by Mahaprabhu. Now he is taking another great personality, Jagananda Pandit, and he wants to dedicate this whole chapter, at least half of the chapter, to him by describing his pastimes. In the previous chapter also he has touched upon beautiful pastime of Jagananda Pandit. But in this chapter, now he is simply jumping on because this is the pattern that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is following. That every chapter he is taking a great personality and he is writing, you know, his glorification and how his interaction with Mahaprabhu. Like we saw for Shivanand Sen, then Ramananda Rai, and then Swarup Damodar Goswami, and now he's telling about Jagananda Pandit. That how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would taste various transcendental relationships of pure love in the company of Jagananda Pandit, because Jagananda Pandit was one of the associates who was there with Mahaprabhu in his later pastimes. Text 4. Krishna Vicheda Dukhe Shina Mana Kaya Bhava Eshe Prabhu Kabhu. The unhappiness of separation that is there from Krishna exhausted the Lord's mind and reduced the structure of his body. He became so thin, so exhausted. Mind was simply exhausted. Bhaveshasha Prabhu Kabhu Prafullitahaya. But as soon as he felt some kind of emotions of ecstatic love, again, you know, his body became healthy and is full of joy, full of bliss. Kalara saralate chayana atishina khaya saralate hada lage vyathahaya gaya. So now Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, because he wants to narrate a beautiful pastime that we'll be seeing today. So he is saying that now why he brought up this point, that Mahaprabhu's body was so thin that actually the flesh was so reduced and the bones were coming out. You know, you could see the bones. So how that thin, you know, his body has become. So he's saying because he was very thin, so when he would lay down to rest, and normally being a sannyasi, he would lay down on a dark, you know, dry bark, banana leaves. The bark of that banana trees, he would take the dry ones and he would lie down on it. And because we know that it's just a plain bark, right? And it's so thin. So definitely the body, the bones are directly touching to the surface of the earth. So that could cause pain, you know, in his bones. And seeing that, dekhi sabha bhakta gana mana dukha paya sahite nare jagananda shri jila upaya. All the devotees, they felt very, very unhappy, very, very unhappy to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in pain. Though Mahaprabhu's pain is not on the level that we can perceive, okay? But, you know, having that kind of attachment towards Mahaprabhu, naturally all the devotees felt great pain that how Mahaprabhu's body has become so thin, the bones are coming out, the flesh has reduced. So definitely when he'll sleep on that bark of that plantain, the banana tree, you know, definitely the bones will be aching more because you're directly touching. You need a kind of a cushion, right? Just to give support to your bones. But Mahaprabhu is not accepting anything and Mahaprabhu is simply lying on the floor. And seeing this, all the devotees have become very unhappy. They could not tolerate it. And so our dear Jagananda Pandit, he also couldn't tolerate it at all. And what he did is, Srijula Upaya, he devised a plan. And what was his plan? That we will see. Sukshma Vastrani Gaurika Diya Rangila Simuliriya Tula Diya Taha Puraila. He acquired some fine cloth, colored it with red oxide, then he filled with a cotton from a simula tree. So from here onwards, what we will do is, we'll not go verse by verse, but we'll just see the whole pastime now, that what actually happened. So in this regard, you know, first, you know, I would like to say that, I would like to say a little bit on how Mahaprabhu's feeling was before jumping directly onto the pastime of Jagananda Pandit, that what he did to provide some kind of comfort to the to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Let's first, you know, though not qualified, but following the footsteps of Acharyas, let's first understand that how his body was so weak, so exhausted, but some kind of emotions then comes up, then a person, you know, he forgets the sufferings of the body and he dives into that emotions and he forgets that there was some pain in the body. So to a very, very subtle extent, we all must have experienced this, you know, that there is a difference between a pain and suffering. You know, the pain is to the body. The body, yes, there is some pain in the body. But when we do service for Krishna, suppose if we are in the temple and there is a festival going on, maybe a Janmashtami festival or a Gaur Purnima festival, and you have been given a particular task, and the whole day you are doing that, maybe serving prasadam or washing utensils or some kitchen work is the area you have been given that you have to see all this. Now, working whole day from morning till evening, especially during the Janmashtami festival, it's so busy festival, right? Because it starts not only a day on that particular day, but maybe a day or 2 days before. So the body is totally exhausted, and especially on Janmashtami day, when the whole day you have to fast. So on fasting, you know, we are fasting, and at the same time, we have, our body has become so exhausted. It's like if it has been given some work of some chores at home, definitely we would have just kept it aside and would have passed on for some other day to do it, and we would have simply relaxed. But because it's a Janmashtami day and we are already exhausted, and still we are fasting, and on the whole day also we are working like anything. We are serving, we are doing our service that has been assigned to us, right? The whole day. But how much bliss we feel? Do we ever feel that, oh, my body is so exhausted, I should take rest now? No. At that time, there is only and only mood of service, that let me serve to my full extent. This is the big day. Janmashtami doesn't come every day, you know, it's only once in a year. So let me serve to my full capacity. And we extend, you know, we go a step further and don't realize that, you know, our body is aching, but we just go forward and just want to serve. And it doesn't stop there, okay? The whole night is Janmashtami day, we do midnight arati. And then also it doesn't stop. Why? Because next day is the appearance day of our dear Srila Prabhupada, it's Nandotsav. And then right from the morning, Mangalarati, again we have so many services and we have to go to the temple, you know, we have to, if we are so much involved, you know, you can experience this. And then again, you know, next day, and then the whole lot of cleaning, and then Prabhupada appearance day, and the feast is there. And then so many disciples come and devotees come and they share their realizations of Prabhupada. So many things goes on and on and on. It doesn't stop. But our ecstasy also doesn't stop. Why? Because we feel that ecstasy in our heart of celebrating these wonderful festivals like Janmashtami and appearance day of our dear Srila Prabhupada. But the moment the festival gets over and we come back home, Next 2-3 days are just like as if nobody should disturb us and we should be on our bed. So that's how the mood is. You know, this is just in a very, very a fraction of, you can say a decimal, you know, we can feel that kind of emotions in our heart, but it's definitely nothing as compared to, you know, it's just a mustard seed, even less than a mustard seed of the emotions that we can feel by engaging ourselves in some Krishna conscious services as compared to what separation that Mahaprabhu is feeling. And, you know, his body is getting that ecstasy, and though he has become so feeble and weak, but still he could dance up and down when he feel that emotions, that bhava that comes in his mind. So in this regard, I was also thinking one of the beautiful pastime of one of our acharya, Srila Jagannathas Babaji Maharaj, whose disappearance day we just celebrated a few days back. And we all know who is Jagannathas Babaji Maharaj, the spiritual master of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is regarded as the seventh Goswami in our Gaudiya Parampara line. So he was the spiritual master of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So just on a side note, this Panchatattva Pranam mantra that we chant, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaura Bhaktavrinda, is actually composed by Jagannathas Babaji Maharaj, has been given to us by him. So really, you know, he holds a great position in our parampara line, because every day we are chanting this mantra, especially when we are chanting our rounds. So before starting and ending our round, we chant this Panchatattva Pranam Mantra, Panchatattva Mahamantra. So even the Pranam Mantra for Jagannathas Babaji Maharaj is Gaura Avir Bhava Bhumis Tvam Nirdeshita Sajjana Priyas Vaishnava Sarva Bhauma Shri Jagannathai Te Namaha. So what is this? Is Gaura Avir Bhava Bhumis. So the appearance of Lord Gauranga, Bhumi, the place where Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu Avirbhava happened, his appearance happened. Tvam Nirdeshita, you have given that place to the entire world. You have given the directions that this is the place where Mahaprabhu appeared. Sajjana Priya, and therefore you are very, very great devotee, and you are very, very, you know, dear to all the Vaishnavas. Vaishnava, you are Sarva Bhauma. And Sri Jagannathai Nama, I pay my respectful obeisances to Jagannathas Babaji Maharaj. So what actually happened in a quick form, I'll just tell you in a quick thing, that actually Bhaktivinoda Thakur, everybody would say, you know, that Mahaprabhu's appearance day, place happened on the other side of Ganga. But once Mahaprabhu, through his bhajan kutir, because those days there were no buildings and no big structures were there. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was there in his room, and from there he could see a divine light, you know, coming from the other side of the Ganga. So people were thinking that, you know, Avirbhava happened this side only, but he could see that, no, there is some light coming from the other side of that Ganga. So he went to that place, and there, you know, he met some Muslim people and they were there. And then he said that, how about, you know, there was a place and it was just a barren land. And those Muslim people, they told that, oh, this is just a barren land. It's hardly in use. We never use this land because, you know, whatever we sow, only Tulsi grows. Whatever seed we sow in this place, only Tulsi grows. So, you know, we don't use this land any further. Now, as soon as Bhaktivinoda Thakur heard this, he could sense that this is the place where Mahaprabhu must have appeared. But, you know, he mapped with all those Shastric references what he had. But still, you know, he wanted a kind of a confirmation. So he went to his, you know, he thought that I should go and ask Jagannathas Babaji Maharaj regarding this. Now, Jagannathas Babaji Maharaj is a Shiksha Guru. There's a Shiksha Parampara that goes on. Anyways, I'll not go into that detail. So he went to Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, but he didn't say anything that I want to take you something because I want you to please verify that is this the place for Gauranga Mahaprabhu, what I am thinking, you know. He didn't mention anything. He just said that, Babaji Maharaj, I want to take you to some area, some place. And Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj was very, very, you know, very, very compassionate and very, very happy for his devotees, and he wants to fulfill all his desire for Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he said, okay. And Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj was 120 years. So he actually lived for 140 or 145 years. But he, at that time, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur approached, he was just 120 years old. Just 120 years. So you can imagine that how he was. Quite old, right? And we cannot imagine. Anyways, and he was so old that his body has become so weak and so thin, and even his back was just, you know, it was a hunched kind of thing. It had bended forward. So you mostly have seen in the temples the picture of Jagannath Das Babaji. His back is, you know, down, and he's just chanting his mantra. So this is how, you know, his body has become, and to an extent that he couldn't walk. He has to be carried in a basket by, you know, one of his disciple. So anyways, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur approached, at that time, he said, okay, I'll take care of it and I'll come with you. And as soon as Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj's servant, his name is Bihari Lal, he was carrying Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj on his head in the basket. And as soon as they all reached to that place, you know, where Tulsi was growing up, oh, what an ecstatic feeling, you know, came. A wave, a tsunami of bhava came in the heart of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. That what he did, he immediately jumped out of the basket. Now imagine, he cannot walk. Okay, he has to be carried in a basket. But here, just after reaching to that place, he immediately jumped out of that basket and he said, oh, this is the place for my Nimai's Avirbhav Bhumi. This is the place where my Nimai took birth. Nobody mentioned him, you know, for what purpose he has been taken to that place. But a tsunami of bhava and emotions came in the heart of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj that he immediately said, oh, this is the place. And he started jumping up and down, rolling onto that ground, rolling onto the dust, walking, running here and there and hither and thither. And he completely lost all his so-called material senses. And he thought, oh, this is my place for my Nimai's place where my Nimai appeared in this world. So, you know, so much absorption, so much enthusiasm he has for Krishna. So that's why when his pranam mantra is Gaura Avirbhava Bhumi Stvam Nirdeshita Sajjana Priya Vaishnava Sarva Bhoma Shri Jagannathaya Namo. So here we see that how much feeling, you know, he could feel. So we can little bit, you know, compare that this is how the motions, when it comes to Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu's body has become so thin, so exhausted, but as soon as these bhava, these emotions comes, he'll jump up and down and he'll be like a madman. So just, you know, to bring some kind of comparison, I thought, okay, let's at least have some idea, you know, that even if Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj's body can become so ecstatic after getting those emotions, what to talk of Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyways, so all the devotees, they felt very unhappy seeing Mahaprabhu lying on this floor, and you know, they were thinking, oh, Mahaprabhu's body must be paining, you know, though night he's apparently taking rest, but he's not properly taking rest because his body must be very much paining, you know, sleeping right onto that floor. So Jagadanda, now he devised a remedy. What was it? He acquired some fine cloth from the market and he colored it in the red oxide. Red oxide is almost like a saffron color. right? And from the Simula tree, he got some cotton and he filled that cloth, the cloth that he's bought from the market, and he colored it. He dyed it in a saffron color and he bought two cloths and he filled those cloths in with the cotton. And thus he made a kind of a quilt and a pillow and he gave it to Govinda. And he said, you know, O Govinda, ask Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to lie on this. But in his heart, he knew that, you know, Mahaprabhu might reject Govinda's proposal. You know, Govinda might offer and then Mahaprabhu said, oh, no, I don't want it. So because last time also it happened when he brought so much of oil, sandalwood oil, and Mahaprabhu rejected the proposal of Govinda. So this time he want to make sure that the Lord accepts this quilt and pillow. So what he did, he also requested Sarup Damodar Goswami that you also personally go and persuade the Lord to accept this pillow and quilt in case, you know, Mahaprabhu rejects Govinda's proposal. So when yesterday Preeti Mother Preeti Vilasini was covering, you know, this part that how Jagananda Pandit, he brought oil and, you know, Mahaprabhu, he simply reject, and Jagananda Pandit, you know, he felt so unhappy. He locked himself in the door, in, you know, in one room for 3 days. So who is actually Jagananda Pandit? He is in Krishna Leela. He's a Satyabhama, right? So he is in the Dwarka mood. Just remember this. He's in his Dwarka mood. He is in a wife of Krishna, Satyabhama, right? So it's Satyabhama incarnated as Jagananda Pandit. So he was Satyabhama and his mood was primarily that of a Madhurya Ras, right? Madhurya Ras in union, not in separation. Okay, Madhurya Ras in union, because Satyabhama is the queen of Dwarka, right? So Aishwarya Bhav is there. So he was always in the mood of, you know, providing some best comforts to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whereas Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, following strict norms of a sannyasi, he would always reject his proposals. And Jagananda Pandit would repeatedly provoke some kind of loving arguments with the Lord. And there always be seemed to be some kind of misunderstanding between both of them. And, you know, there will be some kind of fight, not actually as a fight, but, you know, Jagananda Pandit will become upset with Mahaprabhu. Anyways, when he told Sarup Damodar Goswami that you please go and persuade the Supreme Lord, persuade Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to accept this quilt and pillow that I have made for him. So finally, when night came and it was the time for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to rest and to go to his bed, Govinda came and he gave the quilt and pillow. And as soon as Mahaprabhu saw that quilt and pillow, he became very angry. He said, "Who made this?" And Govinda named Jagananda. And as soon as the Lord heard the name Jagananda, he felt so fearful. In the 11th verse, it is mentioned. I'll just read. Govindara puchena iha karila kone jana. Means who has brought this quilt and pillow? And Jagadandara nama shuni sankocha haila mana. As soon as Mahaprabhu heard, there was some kind of hesitation in his heart. And he became fearful. Now, fear personified is fearful of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And here we are seeing that the Lord is getting fearful of his devotee. So what actually it is? It is actually a loving exchange between the Lord and his devotees. Aham bhakta paradhina hi aswatantra ivadvaja sadhu bhirghrasta hridayos bhaktir bhakta jana priya. Krishna says, Aham bhakta paradhino. I am completely under the control of my devotees. This is the words of Krishna. He aswatantra eva duja. So this actually verse comes when Durvasa Muni offended Ambarish Maharaj. And there was a chakra that was following Durvasa Muni. And Durvasa Muni finally reaches to Vaikuntha planet. And he approached the Supreme Lord Vishnu. And he said, oh, please forgive me. Please forgive me. And then Supreme Lord, you know, Vishnu said, oh, who am I? You know, that time he says, Aham Bhakta Paradino, oh, I am totally under the control of my devotees. He aswatantra eva dvija, oh Brahmana, oh Durvasa, I am aswatantra, I am not at all independent. Now, the same Krishna who is described as Swarat in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the very first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, he is saying that I am aswatantra. I am not at all independent. I am totally dependent, you know, under the control of my devotees. My heart is totally controlled. Sadhu bhi grasta hridayo. You know, I am bound in the heart of my pure devotees. My heart is totally controlled by my pure devotees. Bhaktir bhakta janapriya. And what to talk about the devotees? Even the devotees of my devotees can, you know, bind me in their hearts. So I have no rights to just to forgive you because I cannot do anything. I'm aswatantra. I'm not swatantra, I'm aswatantra. I'm totally dependent on my devotees. So if you really want to forgiveness, then you have to go back to Ambarish Maharaj and ask forgiveness from him. That was his mood. But why I'm quoting this, that, you know, Mahaprabhu also, you know, because there was a loving exchange with Jagannatha Pandit. So in another verse, it says, Sadhava Hridayam Mayam Sadhu Naam Hridayam Tab Aham. That a devotee is always in the core of my heart and I am always in the core of my devotee's heart. So that's the position of Krishna. So similarly, Jagannatha Pandit's heart is always captured by Mahaprabhu. He always wants to give some kind of comfort to Mahaprabhu. But at the same time, Mahaprabhu also has some kind of attachment towards Jagannatha Pandit, you know, because he's his devotee. So Lord becoming fearful is not because of some external apparent fear, but it is just a loving exchange. Like yesterday also we saw that how Mahaprabhu, he didn't accept sandalwood oil brought by Jagannatha Pandit, and Jagannatha Pandit became so upset that he locked himself in for 3 days in one room without eating, sleeping, drinking, anything. And so Mahaprabhu knew that, you know, if Jagannatha Pandit came to know that I have rejected this quilt and pillow also, that which is so lovingly made by him, then he will again, you know, become so upset, and then who knows how many days now he will lock himself in one room. And again, I have to go and try to pacify him. So Mahaprabhu, you know, therefore Kaviraj Goswami is mentioning that there was some kind of sankocha after hearing the name Jagannatha. But Mahaprabhu, you know, he is a strict sannyasi. He followed the strict norms of a sannyasi. So he'll not accept. So what he did, he very politely told Govinda to put aside this quilt and pillow. And then finally Mahaprabhu laid down on the dark, dry bark banana, that plant and tree, you know. He laid down on that. And then Mahaprabhu laid down on that. And then just then Sarup Damodar Goswami came. And he said, oh Lord, I cannot contradict your supreme will. But if you will not accept the bedding that has been given by Jagannatha Pandit, then you know that again he'll become upset. You know, so why not you just accept it? And then Mahaprabhu said, why only quilt and pillow? Why don't you buy a big bedstead for me? Buy a nice bed also for me so that I can lie on it and have a nice sleep. Now, this is just a sarcastic way he's saying. In the means that he wants to say that Jagannatha Pandit always wants my material opulences, my material happiness. But however, I am a sannyasi. I have accepted this renounced order of life. So I must lie on the floor using a bedstead, using this quilt, using this pillow. Oh, this is, if I use this, I'll be called as a pseudo sannyasi. A false sannyasi, a sannyasi who is enjoying all these material opulences. So it will be a very shameful on me. So therefore, I'm not going to accept it. So you can tell Jagannatha Pandit that I'm not going to accept this quilt and pillow. Let me live my life the way I am. And finally, Sarup Damodar Goswami, he returned and he related all the incidents to Jagannatha Pandit, who after hearing, very definitely, he became upset. But then Sarup Damodar, he devised another plan to give some kind of comfort, because it was not Jagannatha's heart who was aching in pain, but it was the heart of all the devotees. They all were feeling upset that how Mahaprabhu is sleeping on the floor, you know, how his bones are not getting any rest, rather they are paining much more after taking rest. So what plan he did, that what he did is that he secured many dry banana leaves he secured, and then he made them into thin fibers with his nails, very, very thin fibers with his nails. He stacked basically all those banana leaves, and he made those thin fibers. He did it with his nails. And then he didn't buy any cloth from outside. Rather, he took the cloth of Mahaprabhu itself, Mahaprabhu's uttariya, you know, the upper part of the cloth that was old enough. Mahaprabhu was not using that. So he took two of those uttariyas, the upper cloths, and he filled those dry banana leaves, the fibers that he has made, he filled them with those fibers in those cloth, and he made a kind of a bedding in a pillow. But then he approached Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to accept it. But Mahaprabhu again rejected, and he said, oh no, this is also, I'm not going to accept. And everybody said, oh, now this is not some kind of a comfort. It is just a banana leaves only. It's not a cotton, and this cloth is also yours. So everybody, you know, the pressure was coming from everybody, and everybody endeavored their best to convince Mahaprabhu. And finally, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he accepted that. So everybody was very, very happy to see the Lord lying on that bed. But Jagananda Pandit was still very unhappy, very, very unhappy. And inwardly, he was very angry also. But, you know, since everybody was happy and it was providing at least some comfort to Mahaprabhu, he just kept quiet. And he didn't show even his anger, though inside he was very, very upset, but he didn't say anything. So one day what happened, Jagananda Pandit, he approached Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he said, oh Mahaprabhu, please give me a permission to go to Vrindavan. So actually, Kaviraj Goswami mentions that earlier in past also, Jagananda Pandit has this desire to go to Vrindavan. And many times he approached Mahaprabhu also to give him permission, but every time Mahaprabhu would not give him permission to go to Vrindavan. And so this time Jagananda Pandit, you know, he approached Mahaprabhu, and with Mahaprabhu, with very great affection, he said, I know you are angry with me. That's why you want to go to Mathura. And if now you are going to Mathura, you will become a beggar and you'll criticize me. That's what Mahaprabhu said, because he knows that he is not going in the right mood to Vrindavan. He wants to go, that's one part, but now he wants to go because he's upset with me, he's unhappy with me. So what he will do is, throughout his journey, his mind will be in the thoughts that Mahaprabhu rejected my oil, Mahaprabhu rejected this quilt. So he will be not in the mood, because you need the right mood to enter a dham. So he said, Mahaprabhu said, right now you are angry with me. And therefore, to escape from this circumstance, to escape from this scenario, you want to leave me and you want to go to Vrindavan. And now if you go to Vrindavan, your mood will be there. No, the mood of anger will be there. The mood of unhappiness, you know, the upset mood you will be carrying with you. And with that, you cannot go to dham. Even if you reach there, you'll simply become beggar and you'll criticize about me to all the other devotees who are there, because you'll just tell, oh, this is what Mahaprabhu is. I bought so much. I did so much, but Mahaprabhu rejected everything. You know, you'll talk about me. You'll criticize me. So this is not the right time that you should go to Vrindavan. So I'm not going to give you any kind of permission. But Jagananda Pandit, he fell at the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu and said that for very long time I have this desire. It's not that just now this desire has popped up in my heart, but for very long time I had this desire to go to Vrindavan. So please, please, I beg you to give me permission to go. And what he did is that Jagananda Pandit, at the same time, he appealed Swarup Damodar Goswami also, because Mahaprabhu simply said, oh no, I'm not going to give you any kind of permission to go to Vrindavan. You better stay here. So Jagananda Pandit felt again very upset, and then he approached Swarup Damodar Goswami that, why don't you please tell Mahaprabhu that I really want to go. This is a natural desire that is there in my heart to go to Vrindavan. I really want to go to Vrindavan, but Mahaprabhu is not giving me permission. And he is thinking that I'm going to Vrindavan because I have become angry with him. But that's not the case. I really want to go to Vrindavan. So why don't you please request Mahaprabhu from my side to give me permission to enter into Vrindavan. Then Sarup Damodar Goswami, he approached the Supreme Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he said that previously you have already permitted Jagananda to go to Bengal to meet Sachi Mata. And I know that he had this desire to go to Vrindavan, not now, but long ago also he showed interest in going to Vrindavan. So why don't we just allow him, you know, please allow him, give him permission to go to Vrindavan and tell him not to stay too long, but he can come back, you know, he may return, not stay there permanently, but just come back quickly. So as soon as, you know, this recommendation went from Sarup Damodar Goswami, Mahaprabhu accepted. Mahaprabhu said, okay, I agree and I give permission to Jagananda Pandit to go to Vrindavan, but I have few instructions for him to follow. And what are these instructions? We'll see now. And there are very simple instructions, and these instructions are not only for Jagananda Pandit, but few of the instructions are for us of sadhakas. As sadhakas, it's for us also that how we have to approach dham, how we have to go and develop the right mood to enter into dham. So the first instruction, because those days there were no trains and buses, no transport, the way to commute from one place to another, you have to walk. You know? So therefore, first instruction, Mahaprabhu told him to take care in his travel. So he said, Mahaprabhu said that up to Varanasi, you can go very confidently without any problem, without any disturbances. But beyond that, after Varanasi, when you cross Varanasi and then when you go on your path to go to Mathura, on that path, there is a little danger. So beyond that, make sure that you have a Kshatriya with you. Why? Because to accompany you, because there are so many plunderers on the way that as soon as they see some Bengali devotee and that too traveling alone, they loot him. They take him all his belongings. They arrest him and then not even let him go also. So you better be careful on your journey towards after beyond Varanasi. So be careful that you have some Kshatriya with you who can protect you if in case some plunderers attack you. So this was the first instruction. Second instruction Mahaprabhu gave him that as soon as you reach Mathura, always be with Sanatan Goswami and offer all obeisances to all the men, leading men there. You know. So this was the second instruction. The second instruction also applies to us that how when we go to Dham, we should always be in the association of devotees. We should not think, oh, now let me see everything on my own and let me be in Dham on my own. No, that should not be the mood. We should always be in the association of devotees whenever we go to Dham. And at the same time, we should offer all respects to all the Vrajvasis. It's not that, oh, this person doesn't follow ISKCON or no. Vrajvasis, they are all together on different level. We'll commit aparad if we don't offer obeisances to all the leading men there. And forget about men, even the monkeys, even the animals in Dham, they are also Vrajvasis. So we should not talk ill about any of them. Rather, we should pay obeisances to each and every one of them. So that should be the mood. Okay, it's not that physically you are going down to each and every monkey. But, you know, of course, maintaining a safe distance. But at the same time, mentally, you know, thinking, okay, they are Vrajvasis. That should be the mood. Third instruction, Mahaprabhu said that do not mix freely with the residents of Mathura. Show respect from a distance. Why? This is very, very important. Because Vrajvasis, they are always in a different level. Their mood is of a mood of a Raganuga Bhakti. They are on to the Rag Marg. For them, Krishna is not God. For them, Krishna is their Lala. They can say anything to Krishna because their whole life revolves around Lala. That, okay, my Lala, everything they do is for their Lala. So they can say anything for Krishna also. They can say anything. So, but we as sadhakas, we are not on to that level. So sometimes, you know, there might be some misunderstanding that has been created. So to avoid that, because that misunderstanding will lead to a kind of offense. So we have to avoid that. And to avoid that is we should not mix with the Brajvasis that freely, because we will not accept the, their mood. Their mood is totally on to the different level. So those who are on the Vaidhi Bhakti level, they should have some distance with those of that of Rajvasis. We should offer 100% obeisances to them, that's for sure. But we will not be able to accept their mood if we are not on that level. So better be careful. Then fourth instruction, he said, that visit all the 12 forests of Vrindavan with Sanatan Goswami and do not leave him even for a moment. So that is also very important, that whenever we go for dham and go for dham yatra, we should always be in the association of devotees. Dham is not to be seen through our eyes. Dham is supposed to be heard through our, seen through our ears. Because when we hear the glories of dham, then only we'll be able to see dham. Okay, so dham is not to see through our eyes, but should be seen through our ears. And we should hear the glories of that, of all those places. So dham yatra has to be seen through ears. So that's what even Mahaprabhu instructed, that when you go and visit all the places and do your dham yatra, do it in the association of Sanatan Goswami. Because you will not see the material things there, but you will hear only the spiritual things that Sanatan Goswami will tell. And that's how you'll develop the right mood to see dham or enter dham. Then the fifth instructions that Mahaprabhu gave was that be in Vrindavan only for a short time. And then as soon as you are done, you must return as soon as possible. Now, this is a very, very important instructions for us also. Actually, Prabhupada writes in his purport that familiarity breeds contempt. We all know this statement. So till the time we have not attained the stage of spontaneous love for Krishna, we should not live in Vrindavan for a long time. It is better to make some frequent short visits, but otherwise we will fail to maintain some proper respect for the Brajvasis. Okay, which is very, very important. Otherwise, it's a big dhamma prad that we will commit. So therefore, if we feel that we are not fit in the position of a raga marg where we can appreciate everything in dham, then better don't stay there for a very long time. Just go see some places through your ears, of course, hear the glories, be in dham, be in the association of devotees, but then come back. Because right now, if we are not fit fully in the raga marg, we should not go and stay there. Then sixth instruction he gave, that do not climb Govardhan Hill to see a Gopal deity. So we all know that on top of the Govardhan Hill, there is a big temple in which the Gopal deity has been established, and that is by Madhavendra Puri. Because Gopala came in the dream of Madhavendra Puri and told that, I'm burning, in the... I've been dug into this earth and I've been burning here. So please take me out and build a temple. So this was the dream. And finally, with the help of the Vrajvasis, Madhavendra Puri, he did it. He digged the earth from the same position, and he got a big Gopal deity. And then with the help of Vrajvasis, he installed that Gopal deity on the top of Govardhan Hill. Now, only the Vrajvasis have that adhikar, that qualification to climb on that Govardhan Hill. And only the Vrajvasis can go and climb and do some service for Gopal deity. Everybody should not go. So that's what even Mahaprabhu is telling Jagaranda Pandit also, that do not climb this Govardhan Hill to see a Gopal deity. Why? Because Govardhan Hill is identical with Gopal. He's not different from Krishna. So we should not step on Krishna. We should not touch Krishna with our feet. So maintain that distance and do not climb Govardhan Hill and do not even go and see that Gopal deity. Just pay your obeisances from down only. Last information he said, that go inform Sanatan Goswami that I will be coming to Vrindavan for second time, and then he should make a proper place for me to stay there. So these were the instructions that were given by Mahaprabhu to Jagananda Pandit, that you go, if you really want to go, I give you permission, go there, stay there, but stay there for a long time and follow all these instructions and always be in the association of Sanatan Goswami. And Jagananda Pandit, you know, he was so happy after hearing, after getting the permission from the Supreme Lord, that he, you know, he was so happy. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also embraced Jagananda Pandit, and Jagananda Pandit worshipped Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. And finally, he took all the permission from all the devotees who were there at that time, and he departed and on his journey to Vrindavan. So as soon as he reached Varanasi, he met two wonderful devotees, Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhar Acharya. We have heard about them in great detail in Madhya Leela, that how Mahaprabhu, when he was in Varanasi, he stayed in the house of Tapan Mishra, and there, you know, he delivered actually Prakashananda Saraswati, who was a Mayavadi sannyasi, and how Prakashananda Saraswati became such a great devotee, a follower of Mahaprabhu. So we have heard this. So even Jagananda Pandit, when he reached there and he stayed there with Tapan Mishra and Jagan and Chandrasekhar Acharya, and he heard various topics of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in Varanasi, how Prakashananda Saraswati was, you know, converted, or, you know, he became a great devotee or follower of Mahaprabhu. So he heard all those pastimes and his heart was so happy. And finally, Jagananda Pandit, you know, he reached Mathura and he met Sanatan Goswami, and they both were very happy to see each other. They both embraced each other, and with the help of Sanatan Goswami, Jagananda Pandit, he saw all those 12 forests of Vrindavan. And finally, because Sanatan Goswami was staying in Mahavan, so he also stayed in Mahavan, in Gokul Mahavan only. He made his residence, he made his own hut, made his own kutir, Sanatan Goswami. So Jagananda Pandit also stayed with Sanatan Goswami, because it was one of the instruction of Mahaprabhu that don't leave Sanatan Goswami even for a moment. So stay where Sanatan is there, and you should be there. So Sanatan Goswami, what he did is that he would beg alms in Gokul Mahavan from the various places. And but Jagananda Pandit, you know, because he is a Bengali devotee, right? So he is not used to eat all those, because in Vrindavan, mostly you'll get wheat, roti, chapatis, you know, and Sanatan Goswami will just do his madhukari, he'll beg all the things, and he'll be on that only, whatever he gets through that madhukari. But Jagananda Pandit will go to a nearby temple and he will cook his own food, and he is basically, his staple diet is rice. So he'll cook his own rice and, you know, he'll eat. But at the same time, Sanatan Goswami, sometimes he gets some raw materials, you know, some needs are there for Jagananda Pandit. He would bring them and he will give it to Jagananda Pandit, and Jagananda Pandit would eat and drink, and like this they both basically spend their time together. So one day what happened, I know it's already 12, but I just want to finish this pastime. So one day what happened, that Jagananda, he invited Sanatan Goswami to the nearby temple and have a lunch with him that Jagananda Pandit had cooked. So as soon as Sanatan Goswami came, and Sanatan Goswami, when he came, he was wearing a kind of a red cloth on his head. He tied a red cloth on his head. So as soon as Jagananda Pandit saw Sanatan Goswami with that red cloth tied on his head, he became so happy, so blissful, and he thought that, he assumed that, you know, this cloth must be Maha of Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu must have given it to Sanatan Goswami, and out of respect, Sanatan Goswami is tying up this cloth on his head. So he just asked Sanatan Goswami, Jagananda Pandit, he simply asked, where did you get this cloth? And Sanatan Goswami said that, you know, there is one of the sannyasi here in Vrindavan, his name is Mukunda Saraswati, and he gave me that cloth. As soon as Jagananda Pandit heard this, you know, he had a cooking pot in his hand and he took it like this, and he wanted to just smash the head of Sanatan Goswami. He became so angry at Sanatan Goswami, he wanted to beat, you know, Sanatan Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami felt so much ashamed after this act of Jagananda Pandit. Though he knew the nature of Jagananda Pandit, he knew that, you know, how short-tempered he is. So he knew, but he also knew that he is one of the chief associate of Lord Chaitanya. So Sanatana Goswami said, oh, you are the chief associate of Lord Chaitanya. No one is dearer to him than you, you know, so please take this cloth, this pot down. But Jagananda Pandit said that you are also a chief associate of Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu also regard you as one of the chief, his main intimate associate, and no one is dearer to him than you, Sanatana Goswami. Then how can you accept a cloth that is being given to you by some other sannyasi? And you are showing so much of respect to that cloth that you are tying it on your head. So this is not the right mood. And then Sanatana Goswami, he felt some kind of, he really felt ashamed of how, what he did. And he said, he praised Jagananda that, you know, I really praise your chastity towards Mahaprabhu. And you are such a learned saint, and I have full faith in you. And whatever you are saying, I have full faith in you. And my purpose of wearing this cloth, though it was unintentional, I didn't even think of it. Being a sannyasi, you know, whatever I get, I just accept it. But now, you know, after my purpose of wearing this cloth has become fulfilled. Because of that, I could see that unflinching faith you have in Mahaprabhu. I could see that. I could see your chastity towards Mahaprabhu. So this uncommon love I would have not seen if I would have not worn this cloth. So today my wearing of this cloth has become successful, and I'm so much grateful to you, Jagananda Pandit. And from here onwards, I promise that I'll give this cloth to somebody else. And finally, you know, they both embraced each other and they sat down for prasadam. And while taking prasadam, they were discussing about Chaitanya Katha, and they were weeping and crying and, you know, and honoring prasadam at the same time. So that was their mood. Why? Because they were discussing about Mahaprabhu. So they embraced each other, and, you know, after finishing the prasadam also, they embraced each other. And finally, Sanatana Goswami was also very, very happy seeing that mood that came out from Jagananda Pandit. And Jagananda Pandit, this way, he passed 2 months in Vrindavan. And then, you know, he couldn't tolerate the separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Though he had that longing desire to go to Vrindavan, so, but just in 2 months, he could feel that separation. And he said, oh, I cannot stay here in Vrindavan anymore. I need to go back to Bengal, to Jagannath Puri, to Mahaprabhu. So Jagananda Pandit told Sanatana Goswami that I need your permission to leave and go back to Puri, but I want to give you the final instruction that Mahaprabhu gave it to me, that Mahaprabhu said that he is soon going to come to Vrindavan, so please make some kind of arrangement for him to stay here in Vrindavan. And then Sanatana Goswami was so happy to hear that Mahaprabhu is going to come here to Vrindavan. So he said, okay, definitely I'm going to make proper arrangements. But just he want to give farewell to Jagananda that, you know, he gave his permission that, yes, you can go now. But along with that, he gave 4 gifts also. And what are those 4 gifts? He gave a dust or sand from Rasasthali, where the Rasa dance is there. Krishna performs Rasa dance with his gopis. He gave that sand from Rasasthali. He gave Govardhan Shila. He gave a Gunjamala. And he also gave some dry ripened pilu fruits. So these 4 things he gave to Jagananda Pandit. And he told that, give it to Mahaprabhu from my side. And on the other hand, Sanatana Goswami, you know, there is a Dwadasha Aditya Tila. Dwadasha Aditya Tila, there is a Tila means that there is a raised kind of a platform, and it is known as a Dwadasha Aditya Tila. Why? Because on that place, after killing Kaliya, not killing, after delivering Kaliya, you know, because Krishna, he became so wet, right? Because he was in Yamuna and he became so wet. And at that time, it is said that 12 sun, the 12th son came and they were giving their warmth and heat to Krishna so that Krishna body can feel a little warm and dried up. So that's why it is to Dwadasha Aditya. Dwadasha means 12 and Aditya means the sun, S-U-N, sun. So there, you know, at Dwadasha Aditya Tila, Sanatana Goswami, he made a small hut and he made one hut and it he kept that area very clean and he specifically saved that for Mahaprabhu, that when Mahaprabhu will come, he'll stay there. On the other hand, Jagananda Pandit, with taking all those four gifts given by Sanatana Goswami, he finally reached Puri and he offered his prayers to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as soon as he saw him. They both embraced and all the devotees also felt so happy, so blissful seeing Jagananda Pandit back in Puri. And then, you know, after offering his obeisances, Jagananda Pandit gave all these gifts that he has given. He has been given by Sanatana Goswami. He gave all those gifts to Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what he did, that he kept all those gifts with him. What were those gifts? The sand from Rasasthali, he kept it with him. And Govardhan Shila and Gunjamala. All these three he kept with him. But the dried, ripened pilu fruits that was given to him by Jagananda Pandit, he told Jagananda Pandit that you can distribute these fruits among devotees. So now this fruit is normally seen in Vrindavan, in the north side, that pilu fruits. So those devotees who were very familiar about these pilu fruits, they suck there that fruit, because in that fruit there is a seed, so you don't have to eat that seed, so you just have to suck that fruit and you have to throw that seed away. So when those who know about that pilu fruit, they ate very nicely, but the Bengali devotees who were there, they didn't know how to eat this pilu fruit. So what they did, they chew the sweet and then they swallowed it. They chew on the sweets and they swallowed it. Now the seed of that pilu fruit is so, has a, you know, taste, some typical taste is there, that as soon as they chewed onto those seeds, there was a hot chili like taste that was there on their tongue and their tongue started burning. So as soon as, you know, the devotees, they were taking this fruit, you know, those Bengali devotees who didn't know that how to taste this fruit, how to eat this fruit, they ate the seed also and their tongue soon started burning because of that strong taste that seed has. So basically what Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is saying, that eating of pilu fruits from Vrindavan, it became one of the pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because everybody, you know, it was a kind of a laughter that broke in, because those who didn't know how to eat the fruit, they were really suffering because of that chewing on those seeds. Anyways, it has become a great pastime, you know, that pilu fruit pastime of Mahaprabhu. Anyways, Jagananda Pandit, when he returned from Vrindavan, everybody was very happy. And thus Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was simply enjoying his Puri pastimes with his intimate devotees residing in Jagannath Puri. So we'll stop here. I know I took a lot of time today, but you know, I just want to complete this whole pastime. And before I just end up, I want to show you one picture of a pilu fruit also. So just give me a minute, I can show you. It's such a, okay. I hope you all can see now. So this is a pilu fruit. It looks like a grape, but it is not a grape, okay? It looks like grape, but it's normally found in Vrindavan in the north side. So this is the pilu fruit. And it is offered to Krishna also. And it's very, very tasty, but the seed is not supposed to be taken. Seed is supposed to be thrown. Okay, so thank you all so much for all your wonderful associations. Sorry, I took a little more time, but I just want to finish this beautiful pastime. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. What a beautiful class. I thoroughly enjoyed it. All the pastimes were so beautiful. How you started off with what exactly Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was feeling, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, the entire pastime of the banana leaves and how the bed was made, and then the turban on Sanatan Goswami, and how Jagdananda Pandit reacted to that, how Jagdananda Pandit actually convinced Mahaprabhu and went to Vrindavan, the instructions that he carried with him, and the filu fruit pastime, what all he brought from Vrindavan. Wow, such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful session. It was so engaging, Mataji. And the best part is when you relish telling it, we relish it even more to hear it. So you really, really thoroughly relished the narration, and we could see it so nicely. Thank you so much, Mataji. What a power-packed presentation. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Preeti Vilasni Mataji, for always engaging me. But trust me, I was simply reading from Prabhupada's translations. And I could see that Prabhupada also didn't give much of purport to many of the verses, because it's just a storyline. So he wants all of us to relish through that storyline only. And I followed his pattern. But thank you for always, you know, engaging me in this service of studying well this Chaitanya Charitamrita. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Kirtidasundari Mataji, for such a nectarian class and sharing so many points of Jagadananda Prabhu's emotions with Mahaprabhu. We can see so many with your face only, we can understand the emotions which you are sharing. We can understand that, Mataji. Thank you so much for such a wonderful class. And now I request devotees, if they have any realizations or questions to Mataji, you can please go ahead. I have seen Karunakari Mataji, she have raised hand, but now...
Karunika Gopika Mataji, do you want
to Yeah, I think so. She left. So any other devotees, if you have any other questions or realizations to Mataji, you can please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Okay.
Sorry, Mataji, I'm again outside today. But it's beautiful, beautifully narrated whole past time. I said, like, this class is going to be like, you keep on smiling and you're giving the class as if you're seeing everything in front of you. And it just gives such a beautiful, beautiful realization. So, Mataji, I did not understand one part was like, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not accept the mat, the carpet, or mat given by Jagannath Pandit. So then, I don't know, you know, I was just thinking, then when we offer some things to Krishna, then does he really accept it? Or I don't. I was confused in that part now. Like, how should we offer it? And if Krishna thinks that, oh, you are not even a devotee, will he really accept what we are giving him?
That's why when we offer anything to Krishna, we offer it via our Gurudev. We ourselves don't have any adhikar, any qualification. So when we offer, we ring the bell, we first chant three times our Guru Pranam Mantra, then Prabhupada Pranam Mantra, and then we chant for Gurudev and Mahaprabhu. Sorry, Krishna and Mahaprabhu. So whatever we offer via Gurudev. Not only offer, but whatever services also we do it on behalf of our spiritual master. We ourselves, we don't have any eligibility to perform any service. And therefore, even Mahaprabhu's words are Gopi, Bhartur, Pad Kamalayor, Das, Das, Anudas. Directly serving Radha and Krishna, no, we'll not get, because we have to ultimately serve the servants of the servants of the servants of the Manjaris and the Gopis. So that should be the mode.
Thank you so much, Mataji. It really makes sense. Like, how it is everything designed for us? All the questions and answers also given. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Wonderful class, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Sita Priti Mataji. Now I request Komodike Mataji. Mataji, you can please share your realizations with the Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Komodike Mataji. Cannot hear you.
Can you hear?
Yes,
yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
How are you, Mataji? Dandavat pranam, so glorious to Srila Prabhupada.
Oh, okay. See, it's very nice class. And I also remember my childhood. When I was little, I used to use those filu fruits. We had in the backyard, we had the tree.
So you have the direct experience. You can share, Mataji, how it
No, you just share the experience. So we don't eat the seed. The seeds are very small, but still it's very bitter.
Yeah, very bitter, very bitter.
Yeah. But it's very nice. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. Yeah. Yes, Mataji.
And also Jagadananda Pandit, pastimes with Jagadananda Pandit and Mahaprabhu Sanatana Goswami. There's a cross he's wearing. All very, very instructional as well, kind of education. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you so much.
I was just thinking that, you know, how much, you know, like suppose if you want to describe somebody mango fruit, we can write essays on it. You know, we can write a lot of words in describing mango fruit, that how it is little sweet, little sour, this color, little greenish, little yellowish, little reddish. But we cannot give the experience of having that mango fruit. But the moment that mango fruit, you know, if we give it to somebody and that person tastes it, so moment the person tastes it, wow, he gets the real experience. That experience which one cannot get after reading so many words or glorification of that mango fruit. But the moment we taste it, we get that. So similarly is Krishna consciousness also. No matter how much we can say that it is blissful, or chanting is blissful, doing serving is so blissful, you know, we feel so happy, we don't feel any physical pain and we are always in bliss. No matter how much you can say, but till the time we don't experience it, oh, we'll not.
Yes, it's very true. So, thank you.
Kalu fruit also. So if you really want to relish it, we have to eat it. No matter how much we can describe. But yeah, thank you. Thank you, Kamodiki Mate, for your wonderful association always.
Hare.
Thank you, Kamodiki Mataji. Now I request Karunika Gopika Mataji. You can please unmute Mataji.
Yes, Hare Krishna Mataji. I think my mobile connection was gone, so I joined from the different device. Mataji, wanted to ask, you have said that we do have that qualification to enter the dham, and then there is a guidelines you have provided. I wanted to say that, like normally people are thinking that after retirement, they will go and stay in Vrindavan or Mayapur. So what is your suggestions? Like, do we have to think like that, or do we need any qualification, or what is Mataji, the suggestion on that?
Actually, staying in dham is one of the limb of devotional service as recommended by Rupa Goswami. You know, he gives five important limbs like association of devotees, Bhagavat Shravan, deity worship, and one of chanting, and the fifth one is Mathura Vas. So we should always aspire to stay in dham. There is no harm in it. But at the same time, keep on praying. Keep on praying to that, so that Krishna makes that arrangements and makes us also eligible so that we can enter into dham. So yes, Mathura Vas or staying in dham is one of the limb, but at the same time, we have to really be cautious, because if we go there and commit any aparad, oh, then there is no rectification. So there will be a huge fall down. So better, yes, we can offer our plans to Krishna that, oh Krishna, this is my desire, just like Jagananda Pandit. He has been rejected by Mahaprabhu so many times, but still he was determined that, oh, I want to go. And he made all those things, arrangements, that somehow I could convince Mahaprabhu. And finally, Mahaprabhu also, seeing the heart of Jagananda Pandit, he allowed. So what I'll say is that even if we have any such plans, let's consult with our spiritual masters or our spiritual mentors, you know, they can give us the real guidelines that, yes, are we eligible? Because they know our heart, our spiritual masters know our heart. So they can really tell us that are we eligible, and but at the same time, back of the mind, in our heart, we should always aspire to be in dham. That's true.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you so much. Do any other devotees have any questions?
Hare Krishna, Chikitida Sumati Mataji, Koti Koti Dandat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev, Srila Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. Today I miss your class, but I will hear now, making the party and hearing your class attentively and send you notes also. Anant Koti Dandat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. Chikitida Sumati Mataji Ki Jai.
Thank you so much, Vrinda Gopika Mataji, for your association. Today's was just...
Thank you, Mataji. Koti Koti Dandat Pranam.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Akirti Dasundari Mataji, Dandat Pranam, Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. Very, very beautiful class, Mataji, as always. Thank you so much for taking us to Jagannath Puri and from there to Vrindavan. Very nice instructions Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave, and you explained it very nicely how to take it for ourselves. And, you know, thank you so much for all the pastimes and the pastimes of the Dhamma. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Shyama Gauri, for your association. Always on the call.
So, Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji, for wonderful class. Mataji, I had a few questions. Like in the previous chapter, we saw that Bengal devotees, they came to meet Mahaprabhu, and they felt so sad when they have to leave Mahaprabhu, to leave his association. But here we see it like a Mahaprabhu is telling Jagadananda Pandit not to go, but he wants to leave. And it's a little bit a contrast, you know, like opposite the mood wise. And second question, Mataji, like why Sanatana Goswami was chosen? Because there were so many Goswamis in Vrindavan. Why did Mahaprabhu insist on Sanatana Goswami? And one more thing, the garland and the Govardhan Shila was the same thing that Mahaprabhu gave to Raghunath Das Goswami while he was coming. So these are my questions, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lakshmi Mataji, for always so putting this forward, these insightful questions. I don't have 100% answers to all of your questions, but what I could feel and think, I can share that. So why Jagananda Pandit, you know, want to leave Mahaprabhu and go? So it's not that he wants to leave Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu was always in Vrindavan mood, right? Mahaprabhu was in this Suraj Bhav, in Radha Bhav. So he wants to go to Vrindavan and see what's there in Vrindavan so that he can more relish that Radha Bhav that Mahaprabhu was having in his heart. So he wants to go to Vrindavan. That was his desire. It's not that he wants to leave Mahaprabhu and go. Whereas the Bengal devotees, they were feeling in separation because they are forced to leave and go to Bengal and carry on their worldly duties. And only the 4 months they'll get a chance to come to Jagannath Puri and associate with Mahaprabhu. And after that 4 months, when they relish these wonderful pastimes and association with Mahaprabhu, oh, their heart breaks because now they have to go back and perform their worldly duties. So that's why, you know, their mood of leaving Mahaprabhu is definitely in the mood of, you know, crying, you know, their heart breaks. But whereas Jagananda Pandit, he wants to relish more Mahaprabhu's mood. So he wants to go to Vrindavan and see what's there in Vrindavan. He has never been to Vrindavan, only had a desire. So now he saw that even Mahaprabhu had so much desire to go to Vrindavan when Mahaprabhu went with Balabaladev Bhattacharya. Yeah, he accompanied him. And so that's the actual mood. Hope it helps, Mataji. And your second question regarding why Sanatan Goswami, because Mahaprabhu had so much faith on Sanatan Goswami, because Sanatan Goswami was a Goswami who was strict to his bylaws, you know, as Sanatan Goswami also wrote big book on Hari Bhakti Vilas. So he knew that Sanatan Goswami will truly guide Jagananda Pandit to relish the mood of Rajavasis. Because see, who is Jagananda Pandit? He is in Aishwarya Bhav. He is Satya Bhama. He is in Dwarka Bhav. So to grasp the mood of Rajavasis is really difficult because one is Aishwarya and another is totally Madhurya. Though in Dwarka also there is Madhurya, but that Madhurya Bhav is Aishwarya Yukta. But here in Vrindavan, Madhurya Bhav is pure level, on a pure platform, without any mixture. It was pure Madhurya Bhav. So therefore, he thought that Sanatan Goswami will be the right person to guide him, and he can be in the association of Sanatan Goswami. And next is your third question, that was it the same Shila? No, that was not the same Shila. That Shila that Mahaprabhu gave to Raghunath Das Goswami was given to him by one of the other sannyasis. That Shila Mahaprabhu gave to Raghunath Das Goswami, but the Shila that is given by Sanatan Goswami, oh, Mahaprabhu kept with him. Gunjamala and that Shila, that Mahaprabhu didn't give to anyone, it was with him only. Hope that helps, Mataji.
Yes, Mataji, very much. Thank you so much, Mataji. It was a wonderful class. Mm-hmm. And always, it's a pleasure to listen to your class, Mataji. Thank you. Jai Sachinandana, Hare Krishna.
Jai Sachinandana. I'm so happy whenever you say Sachinandana, because in this regard, I was thinking, when Krishna says, Aham Bhakta Paradhino, right? So I'm Aswatantra and I'm always in the, you know, under the care of my devotees. So this is how when we say Mahaprabhu, if we say just Mahaprabhu, we say Lord Chaitanya, oh, Lord Chaitanya is not that very happy. But the moment we say, oh, Sachi Nandana Gaura Hari, oh, Vishnu Priya Prana Dhana Gaura Hari, oh, Mahaprabhu becomes so happy and immediately comes, oh, you remembered my devotees. Wow, you made me remember my devotees. I'm so much pleased with you. So, Lakshmi Mataji, whenever you say Jai Sachinandana, I'm so happy, so blissful. Thank you.
It's because of you, Mataji. In one of your class, you were giving the details about the different naam, and you mentioned this, that we have to say the devotee's name first, then Krishna's name. So, I learned it from you. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Lakshmi Mataji.
Thank you so much, Lakshmi. Yes, Mataji, you can go ahead.
Hare Krishna Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. It was a wonderful, wonderful class. I really relished it so much. Mataji, I don't know if I should ask this. Are any one of those four gifts that Sanatan Goswami gave Mahaprabhu, are they still there for the darshan?
Oh, Mataji, I'm not one of the fortunate person to go to Puri. I have never been to Jagannath Puri. That's the desire for me. I really beg each and every one.
I had been, but at that time I had very little knowledge about Mahaprabhu, but I want to go again. But just in case, if somebody has that knowledge, that if those things are still preserved there, then that would be a great fortune to, you know, have the darshan of those things. So just ask that question, Mataji.
Thank you, Parima Mataji. Thank you for your association. But yes, if anybody knows about it, those who have gone to Gambhira and seen that house of Kashi Mishra where Mahaprabhu used to stay, if they have preserved these things, I don't know.
Okay, Mataji, thank you so much. Thank you very much for your wonderful class. Hare Krishna.
Mataji, thank you. Hare Krishna. Okay, anyone else has anything?
If nobody have any questions, we can. Komadiki Mataji, are you talking something?
Mataji, Radhika Mataji.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Sorry, Mataji.
Yes, Mataji. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, Mataji.
Okay, Mataji. Beautiful class, beautiful narration. I missed the first half, but happened to join a little late. Definitely will go back and listen to your first half of the pastimes that you were talking about. But Mataji, I was absolutely, one point that struck me very much was that obviously the faith, when Sanatan Goswami was wearing the turban, then Jagadadananda Pandit did not like it, but what he learned out of it was a big lesson for all of us. The faith, at any point in time, they always see Krishna everywhere, and that was perfectly depicted through this. It was nothing of our mood of looking at another person, right? I mean, it's quite different from a materialistic point of view. I mean, their view is totally different. So that was something really that caught my attention. And so one thing I had was obviously Sanatan Goswami, he wrote Hari Bhakti Vilas. And I'm just wondering what was the intention of Sanatan Goswami to wear the saffron turban? What was his, where was he coming from?
Oh, no. That Sanatan Goswami was a simple mendicant, right? He was his madhukari. So whosoever, whatever gives him, you know, he is in a Babaji vesh. So whatever comes to him, he just accepts. So some sannyasi gave him a cloth and he accepted. So he is definitely on the Paramhamsa level, and he had no intention. You know, it was an unintentional thing that he did it and he tied it. So, you know, he is a Babaji. What Sanatan Goswami used to wear, just a fine cloth and a kopan, right? That's what he used to wear. So when he does any kind of madhukari, or if somebody gives him something, he just simply accepts it. So that accepted, and he just happened to wear that day when Jagannatha Pandit invited him. And
got it, Mataji.
But thank you, Mataji, for always sharing your wonderful insights to it. Your realizations are really good.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Just one thing I'm remembering I needed to ask you. Can you distinguish for me between Babaji and the Sannyasi?
Oh, okay. Very nice, Mataji. Sannyasis, they are normally follow a strict norms, and you know, they are in the saffron robes, and I think so. Ram Girdhari Prabhu touched upon this, that there are four kind of sannyasis: Kutichak, Bahudak, Parivajakacharya, and on the Paramhamsa level. So there are four kind of, but they are always in their sannyas robes and they follow all the protocols of that sannyas ashram. Whereas the Babaji, they are much more renounced, you know. They are totally on their own. You know, they are basically, you can say, they are on that Paramhamsa level. So those Babajis, they don't have a proper, you know, norms of all those sannyasis. They can just roam around and, you know, they follow their own rules. And they normally wear white, you know, the loincloth, that kopan, and then just round about that kopan is their white cloth, and they have their kamandalu and, you know, their chanting beads. So that's what the Babaji Vesh is. Like our Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj, he was a Babaji. Jagannath Das, he was a Babaji. Whereas our Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, our Srila Prabhupada, they were sannyasis, and Bhakti Vinod Thakur definitely is a grahastha.
Yeah, still, I don't know, somehow when I think of like a Paramahamsa, you know, sannyasi, right?
Yeah.
It seems like equal with Babaji, like, you know, totally, totally dependent on Krishna for their maintenance, and, you know, without restriction about where they go, they, you know.
Yeah, exactly. They don't have any that kind of restrictions. Yes.
So for sannyasis at that level, they can be considered as equal to Babaji's, or no?
But still, they may be consciously equal, but you know, still they, because they are still in that sannyasa dharma, so they have to follow the norms of that sannyasis. Like our Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and our Srila Prabhupada, they were Paramhamsa level sannyasis, right? But because of that preaching, Srila Prabhupada used to say that I have to come down to that Parivajakacharya level. But he is Paramhamsa. In his consciousness, he is Paramhamsa, right? So being in that position, you have to follow the protocols of that ashram.
Oh, okay. So I guess, you know, it'd be helpful to know what those protocols are to really understand the difference between them and Babaji's, you know. But anyway, like you're saying, I guess the sannyasis, they have some protocols, whether we know what they are or not, whereas the Babaji's do not have.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've not answered it fully, or I don't have that particular 100% idea. But what I think is that I share.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Gaurangi Mataji. Mm-hmm. Okay, anyone else has anything?
Any other devotees have any other questions?
Okay.
Mataji, do you have time? I have one question, Mataji.
Yes, please go ahead, Mataji.
Mataji, when Jagannanda Pandit, when he was planning to go, his mood was not nice. Then Mahaprabhu was saying like not to go, right? So we also like in different moods will be going to dams, and how should we take that, Mataji?
That's why, you know, Mahaprabhu guided us that, you know, we should really develop the right mood. It's not that sometimes we feel frustration out of this world, not able to carry out our grasta life, and we say that, okay, now let me renounce everything and go to Vrindavan. Oh, that's not the mood. That's not the mood to enter Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, if you have to enter, you have to enter through your whole body, words and deeds. You know, that's how you have to enter. So not out of some kind of frustration. And whenever we go to dham, you know, we should first pray to enter into dham, because physically we might enter, but it's not just the physical entrance into dham is that matters. What matters is our consciousness should enter into dham. So that is very, very important. So physical entrance, yes, we can have it. But really to enter into dham means really our consciousness is deep, dive into that mood of dham. For that, we have to pray. We have to really pray. We have to pray to Vaishnavas before we go to dham, and have that mood, have that right mood. And Mahaprabhu could sense that Jagannanda Pandit wants to go because he's been upset now. But finally, Jagannanda Pandit convinced Mahaprabhu that it's not because that I have been upset for you, but because I have that longing desire. So now I'm requesting you. Hope that helps, Radharani Madhavi.
Yes, Mataji, thank you. And one more question, Mataji. Like sannyasis, usually they don't store or keep anything, right? So when Sanatha Goswami, he gave some items, he kept for himself, right? Chaitanya. The four gifts.
Gifts, right? So,
yeah.
Mataji, they are not some material gifts. Sannyasis don't accept something material, right? But what he accepted, just see what he accepted. The dust of Rasasthali, oh, we all aspire to have it. Because the dust of Vrindavan is so blissful to have, to roll that dust, or even to put that tilak, the tika of that dust on your forehead. And of course, Govardhan Shilas Krishna and with Gunjamala. Gunjamala is none other than Srimati Radharani, who always accompanies Govardhan Shilas. So these are not something material. This is what will, you know, that enhances one's mood for Krishna. So definitely that's the transcendental gift that we all aspire for, and we should accept it. But as for pilo fruits, yes, he said that, okay, you know, though it is also from dham, but he said that let all the devotees may have the taste of it.
Thank you so much. So if nobody have any other questions, we can end the call here, Mataji.
Sure, Mataji. Yeah.
Thank you so much once again for such a beautiful and enlightening class. And we are so grateful and thankful for you, Mataji. Let's all pay our obeisances to Mataji. Vancha kalpata rupyasya krupa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Anantakoti vaishnavrandi ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam ki jai. Har grace kirtida sundari Mataji ki jai. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.